Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, the New England Patriots.
Wow.
Drake May, Mike Vrabel, and this team and how they've resurrected themselves is enough. But then you look at this schedule. They might win 13 games, y'all. They might be – the road to the Super Bowl might have to go through Foxborough. We can't poo-poo that. All right, we've already seen what they've been able to do. Got to give them love. Where it's due, I got them top three.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original, and tonight we're here with you for
10,000 hours, 10,000 more.
Just about, but a full four-hour show, ladies and gentlemen. Full foursies tonight, as a wise man once said. Very excited about that. Very excited at 7:30 to be talking with Mike Dussault from Patriots.com. We haven't had him on since last year, I don't think. So good to get him back in the mix. We will also tomorrow be talking with Mike DeBate from Sports Illustrated, another guy hadn't talked to in way too long. Lots of Patriot stuff to get to. Some coaching rumors that came out, which were courtesy of that guy you just heard right there, Stephen A. Smith, who has the Patriots now top three in his power rankings. That is where the Patriots are sitting, 3-4 in a lot of the national power rankings, CBS, ESPN, the Stephen A. power ranking, etc.
Bam!
It's becoming very difficult to put this team anywhere else. We're hearing it all over the place, except one place, Vegas. Now, their odds have gotten better, but they have not leapfrogged any of the teams that were ahead of them. They are still 11th, in Super Bowl odds. And I'm still baffled by that, but we'll get to that in just a minute. What I'd like to open with is, here we are, 11 weeks into this season. As Stephen A. just told you, this team could very well be a 13 or more win team with their remaining schedule containing the Bengals, who are going to be without Ja'Marr Chase, and Trey Hendrickson, and Joe Burrow. All of them are going to be absent. It's, you know, not that they're that great to begin with. The New York Football Giants, who are all banged up. You do have two good teams coming up after that, but then you have the Jets and you have the Dolphins again. Both of those teams are pretty lousy, and both of those teams should be dinner for you if you're really what you appear to be. Down the stretch here, games that you need to win if you want to secure home field, if you want to secure a bye, if you want to, et cetera. I mean, these type of things, assuming that they stay healthy, this is where you're at. So at 9-2, best record in the league, tied with the Denver Broncos. I was thinking about what, at this point, would constitute a disappointing end to the season. What would be disappointing? And this isn't the same as Andy Hart saying, how could this be a really bad end of the season? Of course, any sort of catastrophic injury would be very, very bad. But this team has already more than doubled its win total from last year, from the last 2 years. It's won more games this year than they have in the last two combined. And with that comes a substantial boost in expectations. There was a point where just winning 7 or 8 games would have been plenty for me. I would have thought that is a successful season. That's fine. That's what I was sort of looking at here. With that being the over-under, I took the under. Didn't bet a lot on it, thank God. And that's sort of where I was at. I thought if they did better than that, that would be considered a pretty big accomplishment. And now, at 9-2, a record only shared by one other team, what's a disappointing end of the season now? Because we've blown way past my idiot prediction. All right, I was way off. So where are we? Where are the optimistic Patriots fans? And if you want to do a victory lap, go ahead and do it. I'll leave the phone lines open for you. 617-779-7937. You want to tell me how dumb I am? Go ahead. I'm not going to argue with you, okay? I'm just not. But I want to hear now, what is the threshold? What's the threshold for this being a disappointing year? Because I think at 9-2, the standards have changed to a point where, okay, is a wild card loss a disappointing end of the season? I think being a wild card team is a disappointing end of this season. If you're playing in the wild card round at all, that's a bit of a mini disappointment right there. So, yeah, losing in the wild card round would be incredibly disappointing. Missing the playoffs would be a catastrophe at this point. You want to talk about what could possibly go wrong? Missing the playoffs here would be an absolute Chernobyl meltdown, all right? 3 Mile Island if you miss the playoffs. I think that is basically impossible. Basically impossible. Nothing's 100% impossible, but come on. If that were to happen, that's a code red, amber alert. So what is it? The wild card? Meh. Losing in the division round. Disappointed. That's a first round loss, assuming you're not a wild card team. If you're a wild card team, that's already a bit of a disappointment. So, yeah, losing in the division round, you say, well, you shouldn't have been a wild card team. Losing in the division round, if you are a one or a two, if you have the bye, well, that's a first-round loss. That's not great for a team that was 9-2. This team has officially graduated to the point where it's AFC championship or bust, I think. Right? I mean, is that a crazy way to pin it? And I'm not trying to set this up so I can say if they don't make it that far, oh, see, they suck. That's not the point here. I want them to go as far as they possibly can. It's better for business if the team's good and goes to the Super Bowl. Come on. That's 100% the case. But that's sort of where we're at now. At 9-2, that's where we're at. Wild card, disappointment. Division round. First round exit, that's disappointing, you know, like that's where you are. That's where I want this team to be. That's where I've been begging this team to get back to. Those type of expectations. And those are lofty expectations, admittedly. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's 100%, well, yeah, you know, it's spoiled. It's spoiled New England fandom. But this is where we sit. When there's a good team here, when there's a team that looks like it has the potential to win 13 games minimum. I mean, that's kind of where we're at minimum here. 13, all right, let's say 12. Let's call it an even 12. 12-5, potentially the best record in the AFC, potentially the best record in the NFL. Well, sure, certain expectations come along with that, and they should. And I'm still a little put off by Vegas. I just am. I'm still put off by this. Here's who the Patriots are behind. And there was some movement. Their odds did get better, okay? But they're still down behind all these other teams. Here's who, and there was some movement up front as well. Kansas City Chiefs have been the leaders for a long time. They have dropped. The odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl right now are the Eagles at plus 500. After that are the Rams at plus 550. Two NFC teams, top two. Buffalo, plus 850. The Colts, plus 950. The Chiefs, plus 1,000. And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Detroit, plus 1,100. Despite that ugly loss, the Seahawks, ugly loss, plus 1,200. Baltimore, who won, moves up there, plus 1,300. Denver, plus 1,400. The Packers, who scraped by the Giants at plus 1,500. And then there's your Patriots, 11th on the list. At plus 1,900, then there's a considerable drop-off down to the Bucks and the Niners and the Chargers and the Bears and the Jags and the Texans and so forth. A lot of movement down there, too. Teams have moved around there, too, for sure. But that's where they are. Still at 11. And that's weird. That's weird to me. Because we've blown past, like, nice little story. Oh, wow, look at this comeback. Look at the resurgence this year. What a nice story this is. We're way beyond nice story. We're way beyond wild card sleeper team, I think. At 9-2, yeah, you're not the wild card sleeper team. That's not what you are. You're a team that, despite what they're saying here, Vegas may not be sold yet, but you know who is? The national media. They've got you in the top three. And not just Stephen A. Smith. It's everywhere. Because that's more beholden to the standings. And also more of a snapshot of what they think about the teams right now. The Super Bowl odds are more of a future prediction as opposed to, okay, here we are at week 11. Who are the best teams? You can't deny that the Patriots are one of the best teams now. But what about them still has the market frozen, still has people doubting them, still has bettors and odds makers saying, I don't know, I haven't seen enough yet. I thought after the Tampa game that this conversation would largely be over. I thought that would sort of tip the scales. Maybe it'll take a win over Buffalo and a win over Baltimore. You beat those two teams, they have to move up then, right? Two wins over Buffalo, you're going to have to move past them. You beat them and Baltimore in back-to-back weeks. How does that not tip the scales a little bit? But then again, I thought the same thing about that Tampa game, and it didn't do jack. I mean, really, it didn't. I think the odds moved more after they beat the Jets, which, you know, short week, I get it. That's fine. But I'm still very put off by the fact that they are not getting that same kind of love. I don't know if it has to do with DVOA, Ted's precious DVOA there, and Aaron Schatz, which I listen, whenever that sort of thing helps frame my argument, I'm happy to use it. But whenever I have to go in any kind of depth about what it actually means, I am lost at sea, boy. I have no idea what the hell that stuff's all about. I just don't. I've had it explained to me, just like I've had basic physics explained to me, and I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand how when I'm driving in my car and I throw my hat in the air, why the hat doesn't go in the back seat. People have explained it to me, but I don't get it. I just don't get it. Same thing with this, like DVOA. It's basically quantum physics. Or in this case, very basic physics that any person who knows anything about science probably figured out in like 10 minutes. But that's just where I am when it comes to most advanced stats in most sports. Like I kind of got tapped out at OPS, you know, like adding the on base percentage and the slugging percentage is like, okay, oh man, that's a lot of adding here, but I think I can handle this. That's it. I mean, you go any further than that, ERA, forget it. No, actually, ERA I can handle. But you know what I mean. When we get into those type of discussions, I do tend to shy away. My eyes glaze over. I can't handle it. But there's no denying that this metric, which is a well-respected metric all across the internet and in NFL scouting circles and, you know, the organizations and all of that, DVOA is something that people take seriously. And the Patriots, despite being 9-2, still have a negative DVOA, which is wild. It makes me question the way the whole thing's calculated. You mean to tell me some of these teams ahead of them make better plays than the Patriots? Like, in every situation to the point where the Patriots are actually negative in that regard? I don't understand that. I don't. But that's the only explanation I've heard. It's really one of the only ones that makes any sense. Well, their DVOA is negative. That's why Vegas is so hesitant to buy in on them and bump them up past, you know, the Ravens and the Colts and these other teams in the AFC or in the NFC or wherever it is. They still have more to prove, I guess. And in a way, I kind of understand that. In a way, I kind of understand it. You don't necessarily win over hearts and minds by beating up on, you know, lousy teams and pumping up your record on teams that are at the bottom of the league. I understand that. That's generally not how that goes, especially if you're a team like the Patriots, who, you know, there's a lot of people just not ready for the Patriots to be back, not ready for the Patriots to be a thing again. Like, they were really enjoying those years of misery that we all went through. They were really kind of, yeah, this is great. There's your karma there for all those years of Brady and Belichick. You know that exists, and I'm not just talking about other fan bases. I'm talking about everywhere. Like, that was a pretty obnoxious 20 years we all enjoyed. You know? Like, it was just every single year, there they were, winning 12 games again. And it looks like they're on pace to do that again. And this is different from the Mac Jones year. I think everybody understands that. That Mac Jones, Bill Belichick year, while it was happening, everybody was like, whoa, how about this? Bill still got his fastball, and this kid, you know, he's not putting up big numbers, but, you know, he'll eventually become something because he's got the greatest coach in the world and blah, 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 all that, you know, it was 2021. That's what we were all saying. And this feels much, much different from that. It does. This feels like a revolution happening right in front of our eyes. You know, no pun intended with the Patriots, but that is what it feels like. Speaking of revolution, I was watching that Ken Burns documentary. Awesome. Awesome. A lot of good stuff to watch on TV these days. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show as well. As for playoff expectations, I think it's pretty simple. Much like my statement about, is this team still in a rebuild? clearly not at 9-2. You can't be still talking about a rebuild. You can't be, well, hey, listen, you know, things don't go the way they were supposed to. It's okay. They're still in a rebuild. I don't buy that. And we heard a quote today from Brian Hoyer, which I thought was very interesting on that very subject, which we'll play for you a little bit later on. One thing I also want to get to is the Patriots' defense without Milton Williams, because if you read through some of these power rankings, one thing that comes up a lot is, yeah, they look great. Yeah, Drake May's awesome. One big problem, though, is that their run defense has been a big part of their identity, and Milton Williams is a huge part of that run defense. Ipso facto, he's a huge part of what they do and their identity, and he's going to be out now for four games, including those two important ones. They're all important, but you know what I mean, those two tougher matchups. And that is a problem. That is certainly a big problem. So we'll get to that. Also, I have a little bit of Celtics stuff I want to get to, as they have a chance to go over 500 for the first time tonight. Joe Braverman's going to tell you a little bit more about that. Also, this team that they're looking at here tonight, the Brooklyn Nets, a historically bad team. However, they are the only thing in between the Celtics and last place in the Atlantic Division right now are those lowly Brooklyn Nets, and I don't think the Celtics are going to make it down there, but it does go to show that they are in a competitive division this year, much more competitive than it was last year. Last year, it was basically them, the Knicks, like the Magic were hanging around, but there wasn't much to it. There wasn't really all that much to it, and now I think that with the Celtics hovering around 500 as they have been almost this entire time, you are going to have to, not the Magic, I meant the, I guess it was really just the Celtics and the Knicks last year, because the Raptors weren't very good. The Sixers weren't very good, and Brooklyn wasn't very good. So, yeah, it was just them too. Yeah, the Magic aren't in their division, but you know what I mean. It was now, I think, much more competitive. The Celtics are in much more of a dogfight when they play against these teams in their division. And even a team like the Raptors, who's off to this great start, they're 9-5 to start the year here, a team that's surprising people, and a team that's certainly no better than the Celtics as currently constituted. So we'll get to all of that. Your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We do have room for you here on the Christian Arcan Show. You can text the show at that number as well. Right now, here's Joe Braverman with what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. As Arcan just mentioned, the Celtics will try and get to above 500 for the first time this season when they hit the road to face the 2-11 Brooklyn Nets. Jason Tatum, the only name on the Celtics injury report as he recovers from the Achilles injury. Tip-off from the Barclays Center is at 7:30. Some other injury news in the NBA. LeBron James will make his season debut for the Lakers following a sciatica injury. And Giannis Antetokounmpo will be out 1 to 2 weeks for the Bucks, dealing with a groin strain. Patriots had the day off from practice today. They'll be back tomorrow. Mike Vrabel stated that he does expect running back Ramondre Stevenson and wide receiver Kayshon Boutte to participate. In roster news, the Pats signed defensive lineman Fabian Lovett Sr. to the practice squad. Lots of Red Sox news as the deadline for the 40-man roster is available. Multiple trades were made, including most recently, a couple minutes ago, lefty reliever Brandon Bernardino was traded to the Colorado Rockies. Fellow lefty reliever Chris Murphy was traded to the White Sox for catcher Ronnie Hernandez. Reliever Luis Guerrero was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays for infielder Tristan Gray. The team also designated for assignment reliever Josh Winkowski. And just breaking, the Red Sox are adding pitchers David Sandlin, Shane Drohan, and Tyler Uberstein to the 40-man roster. Bruins head out west to face the Ducks from Anaheim tomorrow night. News earlier from today, forward Johnny Beecher was claimed off of waivers by the Calgary Flames. And Boston College men's basketball hosts Hampton tonight from Conti Forum. You can listen to coverage on WEEI AM 850 beginning at 6:45. Tip-off for the game is at 7 o'clock. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
.com.
You know, we won't have milk, you know, so for the foreseeable future, he'll work hard to get back, you know, so that's really where our focus is not so much as a reflection as it is just focusing on how do we get the guys ready to perform and continue to improve. I think the thing we're trying to get everybody to understand is how much this is a progress league and to be able to improve as the season goes on. And so we'll have to do that without Milt, who's one of our contributors, and you know, he's a big part of what we've done, but and we'll have to do it without him here for a few weeks.
Christian Arcangelo here, WEEI. It's head coach Mike Vrabel discussing his big guy who went down, Milton Williams. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We spent some time talking about expectations for the team. A couple people texted in Arcan. Only one seed gets the bye, not the two. To be honest with you, that did slip my mind during that last segment, talking about bye weeks and playing on wild card weekend. I stand by my statement. You're 9-2. All right? There's the Broncos. You think the Patriots are better than the Broncos or not? If you don't, fine. All right. Listen, I do. I think they're better. I think Drake May's better. I don't think that the Broncos' defense is that much better than the Patriots, honestly. They have some great players on it. I think the Patriots do, too. Now, Milton Williams, there may be a difference there. If he's not available or he's not 100%, sure, you want to maybe give a check mark there to the Broncos. Do you think their offense outside of the quarterback advantage that the Patriots clearly have, do you think anything else on that offense you'd check off for Denver? I don't. Maybe running back, but not really. Offensive weapons? No. They don't, you know, like I don't buy that. I think that the Patriots are a better team. As for coach, that one's a bit of a toss-up. Sean Payton is a very good coach. I think Mike Vrabel's a very good coach. I don't know that there's a clear advantage there either. So that, okay, two teams are 9-2 right now. You and the Broncos. And if you believe the Patriots are better than the Broncos, then playing on wild card weekend should be considered a disappointment, right? That's all I'm saying. Maybe not quite as big a one, since only one team makes it, and I'll admit that did slip my mind there when I was going on about that. But even still, I stand by it. I do stand by. I'll double down. I stand by that now. And maybe things will change in a couple of weeks, but they shouldn't change for the worse. In a couple of weeks, the Patriots should be 11-2. And an 11-2 team should be getting the bye, you know, like that's the way it works. That's what I think. And that's where these expectations ought to be. Milton Williams being out could throw a bit of a wrench into what I'm talking about, however. And you heard Vrabel there. I wouldn't say he was hemming and hawing through his answer. It was a pretty good answer. But it's hard to really say how you replace a guy like that, how you replace someone like Milton Williams, who really, when you look up like a free agent signing in the dictionary, that's right. That's what you want it to be. That's exactly what you want it to be. You spend a lot of money on a nose tackle. Well, he better be worth it. Some big guy in the middle who was a part-time player with the Eagles, didn't even play on every down. That's who you're going to go and really throw some money around to bring in. That was their big deal. That was their big contract. It was Milton Williams. It wasn't T. Higgins. It wasn't any of these guys. That's who they went, and that's who they paid. Other guys got paid, you know, pretty well, but none of them got Milton Williams. Like, he was the number one free agent out there. He was at the top of almost every single one of those lists. Once Higgins decided to go back to Cincinnati, it was Milton Williams at the top of all those lists. He was at the top of ESPN's, I think at the top of CBS's. There may have been, you know, a couple that didn't have him, but like he was at least in the top two or three in every single list that was out there. And the Patriots pursued him doggedly. And that, to me, is a really nice testament, number one, to if you really want somebody in this league, you got to go out and pay them. Right? You just do. You have to do it. And when you pick the right guy, it can be great for you. Milton Williams was clearly the right guy. But this is an organization that does not like doing that. They do not like going out there on the free agent market and chucking money around. They just don't. They never have. They do it every once in a while, and then they reset back to the cap. And that usually means some lean years of spending in between. We're about, what, 4 years exactly since the last one? So that makes sense. 2021, they spent a lot of money. They were still, you know, not anywhere they should have been in terms of overall cash spending compared to the other teams. But that was an offseason where they went out there and they threw some money around, and they went 10-7. And I think we can all agree that some of those free agent signings were pretty big misses. This time around, there's only one miss, really. I mean, it's Davis, and that's basically it. And I don't even know that Davis is a total whiff. Like, yeah, he's not been awesome this year. Maybe he's not living up to the contract. But I don't feel like he's out there costing them games. You know, they win every week. So no one's really costing them games. They're out there kicking everyone's ass. So until that becomes such a problem that, you know, they're over on the other side of the column there, then maybe, yeah, fine. But right now, it's hard to think that about any of these guys that were picked up in free agency. And Milton Williams is the star of the show, number one star of the show. And when it comes to power rankings, ESPN, Patriots, much like on Stephen A's list, I think, I don't know if they were in cahoots on this, but same company. Number three, behind the Rams at number one and the Eagles at number two. They are up from four, which is where they were last week. And the question is, who's under the most pressure? That's the way they sort of frame these this week's power rankings. The answer that Mike Reese gave was Christian Barmore, and I think that's a good answer. Reese writes, the Patriots just placed starting DT Milton Williams on injured reserve with a high ankle sprain. He's arguably been their best player, who's coming off of a game in which he tied his career high with five pressures, will be critical to filling the void. After being limited to four games in 2024, he has played the hold on one second. He has played 63. Hold on a second. I just clipped this wrong. He's arguably been their best defensive player, Milton Williams. Barmore, a veteran who's coming off a game in which he tied his career high with five pressures, talking about Barmore there, will be critical in filling the void after being limited to four games in 2024 with blood clots. Barmore has played 63.6 of the defensive snaps this season. This is going to be a big stretch here for Christian Barmore, a second-round pick, a guy who I think has a ton of potential, but we're also moving past the potential phase with a guy like him, with a player like this. And that's not to say that I'm not sympathetic to someone who had a health scare, obviously, yeah, but he's also been disciplined this year for things that had nothing to do with the health or anything like that. And he's the only player on this team that's been publicly disciplined by Mike Vrabel, right? Can you think of another one? I can't think of any other ones. So I think that that's sort of an important factor to consider here. Christian Barmore, a holdover guy. Vrabel generally doesn't do great with some of the holdovers. They have had a clash here already. It seems like they're past it. It seems like that's all good. But now this is going to be the guy who's the first line of defense here. And he was before, but now he's the central focus of it with Williams out. And terms of this run defense, which this run defense is the Patriots' defensive identity ahead of everything else. They have a good secondary. Gonzalez is very good in the secondary. But when people look at this team and what makes this team tick, on defense, it's their run defense. You can't run the ball against them. You can throw against them. Teams have thrown against them. You don't really throw on Gonzalez that much except for that one Drake London game. And also, A.D. Mitchell got open against Gonzalez a couple of times, but then Fields threw the ball away. So, I don't know. I mean, that wasn't – I'm not going to say that Gonzalez has fallen off or anything like that, but I did notice that. If Justin Fields had any kind of accuracy, then A.D. Mitchell might have had a couple of big gains there off of Gonzalez. But that didn't happen, so I can't complain about something that didn't happen. But I will say that despite how good he is, despite how good Jones has been this year too, Marcus Jones – and Jaylen Hawkins, like, I'm happy with a lot of the guys playing the secondary. But the run defense is what they specialize in. And part of why the pass defense hasn't been as good, I don't really even think is the fault of the secondary. I think it's more the fault of the pass rush, which has just not been great. I think, you know, you want to talk about DVOA and why those ratings aren't where they should be. It could be stuff like that. You know, May getting sacked a lot still. He's still second in the NFL in taking sacks. This team's not very good in the red zone. There's some other things. You know, Mike Reese pointed some of them out. in his Sunday column. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. In a little bit, we will get to some of the adversity this team's overcome, because I feel like that's just getting under-discussed and is also, I think, part of the reason why I believe more in them than maybe Vegas does and what they can be as opposed to what they just are right now. 617-779-7937. Let's go out to Lexington, talk to Armand. What's going on, Armand?
Hey, Christian. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great show.
Thank you.
Good. I want to just offer a little bit different perspective. In principle, I agree with you on the national media view of the Patriots. I think they should probably be getting a little more credit than they're getting. But here's the cool thing about it. Mm-hmm. This is something that Vrabel can use as kind of a chip on the shoulder of the Patriots, right? And he's not going to come out and say that in press conferences or anything, but in the team meetings, he could be saying, hey, guys, here we are at 9-2. If we beat the Bengals and we beat the Giants, we go into the bye at 11-2, and national media is still looking at us like we're in a rebuilding year and we're kind of this team that had a soft schedule and so on and so forth. And I don't know. First of all, I don't even agree with the strength of schedule argument, because you know how it goes. On any given Sunday in the NFL, anybody can beat anybody, right? So Vrabel's got them prepared. They're coming out. They've got good game plans. They're making adjustments at halftime. It's what I really love about what he's doing with this team. And I got a feeling that, you know, knowing Vrabel's personality, he's probably in the locker room and in the team meeting saying, hey, guys, everybody thinks we suck. So let's go out and prove them wrong, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Armand, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. The strength of schedule argument is an interesting one. Boston Sports Imp had a tweet about this about right before we went on the air. And if you go back to the last 10 Super Bowl champions, almost all of them had a really easy schedule. Almost every single one of them. The Eagles last year, their strength of schedule was 15th out of 16. 16 teams in the NFC. Chiefs, 14th easiest. 15th the year before. The Rams in 2021, 12th. Tampa, 10th. Kansas City in 2019, 4th. It's impressive.
You know, everyone thinks we suck. And
Patriots in 2018, 11th. Philly in 2017, 16th. Patriots in 2016, 16th, which I don't remember them having that easy of a schedule in 2016, but I guess they did. And the Broncos in 2015, 7th. So it's not every single one, but most of them down at the bottom. Having a weak schedule doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to turn back into a pumpkin in the playoffs. Now, a lot of these teams, the Chiefs, they were already an established thing, you know? Like, they were a commodity already. They were the Chiefs. Like, they were making it to the Super Bowl every year, you know, like Tampa with Tom Brady. That team gets in. You don't assume that they're going to just go up and smoke because they had an easy schedule. A team like the Patriots, maybe you can make more of that argument. This team's very unproven. What have they done? They've won 9 games. Okay, well, this is a brand new team. They've had a pretty charmed season when it comes to major injuries. And I know that they've, you know, missed some guys for a couple of games here and there, but they haven't had any major, major injuries yet. That have kept people out or, you know, ended a season or something along those lines. This Williams thing could end up being a major one if it goes past the 4 games, which, if you think about it, it's more than 4 games, because more than 4 weeks anyway, because there's a bye week in there. And this one doesn't count. So you're going, you have to miss the 4 games. It's not just he's going to be out for 4 weeks. He's got to miss all of this time. They didn't have to do that if he wasn't that banged up, but they think that he is. The other thing about this with the strength of schedule is the strength of schedule only becomes a thing like at the end of the year. That's when you go back and look at what the strength of schedule is. When you're making the schedule, it's, okay, put together, all right, this team was in first place, so they get the first place teams from the year before. Injuries happen, stuff happens, you can't really predict that. But they do set up the schedule in a way that they try and make it more fair for the bad teams and, you know, tougher on the good teams. It's just it doesn't always work out that way, you know, especially if the team's in a weak division, which the Chiefs and the Patriots both were for a long time. So I think that has something to do with it, too. 617-779-7937, there's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Celtics taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. I have some thoughts on what they've been doing lately and what they can accomplish tonight with a win, which they better win because the Brooklyn Nets really, really suck. That's coming up next.
It's Kids Day here at the Garden. How do you balance pushing players to improve while also keeping the game fun for them?
I struggle with that, to be honest with you. I think everyone has a different definition of fun, and it just, you have to find one as a team. And, you know, I think fun's a cop-out sometimes when things aren't going well. Everybody likes to say, well, let's just have fun. And it's like, well, you know, what does that mean, you know? And so You know, I think you have to define what fun looks like as a team, you know, and then you kind of have to go after that. But, you know, that phrase can be a cop-out sometimes. So as you get older, kid, don't use it, you know. It's like, I just want to have fun. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know. So, you know, you just got to define that. It's a good question. I struggle with that.
Thank you.
Yep.
I saw people giving Mazzulla crap for that. I really like that answer from him. That was one of the best answers I think he's ever given. I really think that. It was a perfect mix of his weird kind of philosophy. Don't have fun, basically, is what he was saying. But, like, you know what I mean? It was that, but it was very honest. It was very real. He took the question from a kid, which I think maybe had something to do with it, too. But I understood what he was saying. I thought he broke it down pretty well. You're not just about having fun. It's this level. It's about winning and losing. You want your players to have fun. You want it to be fun out there. You want them to be playing with a sense of joy for the game. We hear there a lot. They hear that a lot. Oh, I've lost my joy for the game. It's all about my joy, this, that, and joy. Winning is joy, you know, usually. Unless you hate each other like Shaq and Kobe or something, then it's not. But for the most part, that's usually enough to get the joy flowing in the building. Ask the Patriots. Ask the Bruins. Although that was a pretty ugly one last night. We'll get to them a little bit later on in the show. I thought that answer from Joe Mazzulla was excellent. I really did. I liked how upfront and honest about it he was. And I liked what he had to say. I thought it was a thoughtful, good answer. And I do think that there is some things.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Things you can glean from it here as you look at this team and what they're doing. Now, their last game against the Clippers, and by the way, the Clippers, man, every time I see that team, they're just, they're like an exhibit at the World Fair. The year 2017 in the NBA, here it is. This is it, the LA Clippers. And it's James Harden, 20-10, 20 points, 10 assists. It's Kawhi Leonard on the bench in street clothes. You know, that's it. That's what the Clippers are. That's what they've been for this, feels like this whole time. I know that Harden hasn't been there that long. But, like, that's, you know, this is what they are. This is a team that in 2017 really would have been something. Here we are. It's 2025, and this is what they are. And it's just, man, they're tough. They really are like an exhibit in a museum. And the Celtics just got by them. That was a pretty close game. And the Clippers came out in that third quarter, and they were, whoa, okay. They're not going anywhere. Harden had a big night, getting to the free throw line a ton. Harden gets up for these games against the Celtics, doesn't he? He never got over that that playoff round with him and Embiid, where Tatum went crazy in Game 6. I don't think Harden ever recovered from that. He always takes it up a notch when he's playing the Celtics.
I don't think you can win with James Harden.
I mean, you can't. But that's neither here nor there. What was impressive about that game was Peyton Pritchard with 30 points. And if you can unlock him, if you can sort of wake him up a little bit and get him going. White had a good game too, 22-9, 7 rebounds, close to a triple-double. Nemus Kata had almost a double-double. It was that kind of game. They had a big lead, 76-52. I mean, they were up huge in this game. And then the Clippers closed it right up. And the Celtics were able to hold them off. That shouldn't have been as close as it was. And as I was watching that game, I was thinking, man, you know, Jaylen Brown's a very, very good player, and he's doing, I think, what he's expected of him here this year. He's going out there, and he's living up to it. He's playing well. He took a ton of shots. He took 33 shots to score those 33 points, but whatever. I mean, that's your high volume scorer. That's going to happen sometimes. I didn't have a huge problem with it. I wish he made some more threes. Fine. All the threes he was missing, Peyton Pritchard was making. Pritchard was unconscious shooting threes in that game. And if he can pick that back up and be that kind of player on a regular basis, then I think this team is going to start being a bigger challenge for these other teams here, and not just their division, but in the Eastern Conference. But they've got to be able to get there and do it with some consistency. And one of the big issues that I keep seeing is that this team is so guard heavy. Jaylen Brown is a tall guard, but he plays like a guard. Anfernee Simons, Peyton Pritchard, Derek White. I mean, these are guards. Like, this is a good guard rotation, no question about it. Very good guard rotation. I'd put it up against almost any guard rotation in the league, honestly. Four guys were that good. I mean, that's pretty good. But it doesn't create a lot of mismatches, you know what I mean? Like, that with the Celtics and what they were really good at for the previous 2 years, Porzingis and having Holiday obviously helped. They had a ton of guys that were just nightmare matchups on both ends. No one wanted to be guarded by Jrue Holiday until he got, you know, real banged up towards the end of the year. Him and Derek White, you know, people were memories of Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley and these two guards that could just lock up anybody. And then offensively, they were both dead-eye shooters. They could take you off the dribble and score in the mid-range too. And very good playmakers and distributors. Nightmare matchups. Peyton Pritchard's a tough matchup when he gets hot, but is he a nightmare? Like, you know, is there anybody that's like, ah, who are we going to put on Peyton Pritchard? Like, you just don't hear that very often. Defensively, he's not that good, you know? Like, he's gotten better, but I still think he's certainly no Jrue Holiday. Nemus Cade is a very one-dimensional player. No offense to Ted, he's right about those numbers, and the team is different when Cade is not out there. But Cade is a one-dimensional guy. He's a prototypical big. He doesn't create a lot of matchup problems. He just doesn't. He's fine, but when this team really thrives, when this team is head and shoulders above the other teams that they're playing, the other teams in the Eastern Conference, etc., it's because they're exploiting matchups. Kristaps Porzingis is a nightmare matchup. Jason Tatum is a nightmare matchup. No one can match up with Jason Tatum. No one can guard Jason Tatum. Porzingis, there's a couple of guys who, you know, they can run around with him and be out on the perimeter and not sort of wipe, neutralize him when it comes to rim protection and things like that. Other big guys, athletic big guys. But he was still a nightmare matchup. Jaylen Brown, very, very good player. And whoever has to guard him is going to have a hard time. But he's not the same kind of matchup nightmare as someone like Tatum or a Porzingis or whatever. And you can tell already that this team, without those sort of factors, is different. And you have to try and figure out ways to win outside of that. Having a bunch of guys who can all shoot threes certainly helps, too. The Celtics this year, when they hit their threes, they're 5-0. I heard Andy say this on the way in. When they don't, when they're under 36%, they're 2-7. And that's against good teams, against bad teams, whatever. Like, they're really, you know, become, I don't want to say one-dimensional, because Jaylen Brown's not just a three-point gunner, but it seems like that's just a really important part of what makes them win or lose. Rebounds, too. Getting beat real badly on the board. Sometimes it's in total, sometimes it's in clutch, close and late situations, but either way, it's a problem. It's a problem for them. And they need more bigs, they need more bodies. I think that's an issue. I don't know if it's going to get addressed this year. But one thing that you notice is there's just the matchup advantages that the Celtics took full advantage of. And when you have Jason Tatum, you're going to have that kind of advantage. Jason Tatum and Kristaps Porzingis? You kidding me? Not to mention Holiday and White just dogging whoever the other team's guards were. Like, that was a very, very rare thing. And I feel like I'm leaving Jaylen Brown out of this. Jaylen Brown's a very, very tough matchup as well. He is. No question about it. But, you know, he's a two or a three, plays a swingman position. He had, and he admitted it, sacrificed a lot of his offense over the last couple of years. He's bringing it back, and he's stepped into that role. Sure, absolutely. But he's trying to fill that role with two other guys that are not there. And a guard rotation that, while good and, you know, able to score and score in bunches, doesn't create those same kind of matchups. And Joe Mazzulla Celtics have really thrived off of those lately, and I feel like they're just not there anymore. They're not quite there this year. Maybe they'll develop more as the season goes on, but right now, you just haven't seen it. That being said, go out there and make mincemeat out of this Brooklyn Nets team, all right? Just like you did against Memphis. Go out there and just take it to them, all right? Start getting some of your lesser guys maybe a little bit more confident. Make it a big, like, Minot game or something. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Jay is in North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Chris.
Yes.
I want to talk about the Patriots.
Okay.
I want to play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
Their record is exemplary, 9-2.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't played anybody, really, to speak of. The competition has been really weak.
Right, but they have played Buffalo, they have played Tampa Bay, and as I told you there, you don't necessarily need to play good teams to win a Super Bowl. The Eagles and the Chiefs, they all had pretty easy records going into the postseason. Their strength of schedule records, well, I should say.
The thing is, their record does speak well for them. But again, if they face the Eagles, or they face, and I said the Detroit Lions have fallen greatly in the past. But the thing is, they're not a complimentary team. They're missing a pass rusher, and I don't know. I'm waiting to see. The verdict is still not in, Chris.
Jay, you're still a skeptic, is what you're saying. You need to see more.
I think so.
Okay,
I think so. I think you hit the nail on the head, bro.
All right, thanks for the call, Jay. Listen, that's your right. That's your prerogative, and you're not alone. You're not alone. The betting markets are right there with you. And if there's one thing I've learned these last couple of years, the betting markets can predict a lot. They certainly can. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I was just talking about how the Patriots have overcome a lot more than people are giving them credit for. It's been an easy schedule, but they have had things to overcome. Not even necessarily things this year. Things that were 3 or 4 years in the making leading into this year. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls. We'll talk to Mike Dussault at 7:30. That's all coming up in the next hour here in the Christian Arcan Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.